You're listening to the CKUA Radio Network across Alberta on 16 frequencies, including 102.5 FM in Hinton and around the world at CKUA.com.
My name is Tony King. This is Muse from the CKUA Radio Network. Listen online at CKUA.com. Each and every week around about this time, we feature a columnist on the show, from film to books to technology. We ask an expert to join us on Muse to talk about their area of expertise. I have to say, I've been looking forward in earnest to chat with our interesting array of columnists, but this time out, as a wannabe early adopter who never seems to manage to quite keep up with the curve, I've always admired those folks who embrace the cutting edge of technology. He says, typing the script for this show on an Underwood Touchmaster. From a blanket that knows when to start brewing your morning cup of joe, to iWatches, to Fitbits, and the like, tech is everywhere these days. Is it a passing fancy for companies looking to squeeze one more dollar out of iPad-wheeling consumers, or is it the future of technology? We have an opportunity to chat with Greg Gazin, our self-described gadget guy. He'll bring a device to the table that might bode modern convenience for you, but first and foremost, he has a story to tell about meeting somebody we may all know. Well, it's a pleasure to have Greg Gazin into the studio. He's a gadget guy, and I guess what I'd like to know, and I've been so looking forward to embracing this moment because I'm a frustrated geek. I'm not an early adopter because I could rarely afford to do that much of the time, but I'm a frustrated geek. What I'd like to know is, how did you get interested in this stuff?
Probably a number of things that led to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm thinking initially, way, way, way back when, I remember one of my neighbors when I was a kid, he was having trouble with his television. The speaker wasn't working. I said, well, maybe I can take a look at that. So I opened up his TV, took it apart, and I just realized that one of the wires was loose.
Yeah.
And so I fixed it, went back to my place, grabbed a little soldering iron, and I actually got it fixed. And he thanked me by giving me a game that belonged to his son, who had moved away, and it was the Atari Pong game.
Oh, I remember
the initial Pong game. Yeah, incredible. After that, probably Star Trek. Star Trek really amazed me. But I think the one thing that really took me to boldly go where no man has gone before,
yeah,
was probably in 1986 as a University of Alberta student. I was a member of one of the founding members of the Young Executives Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an opportunity to attend the joint conference between the Association of Collegiate Entrepreneurs and the Young Entrepreneurs Organization. And that's where I met Steve Jobs for the first time.
Okay, we're holding our breath. You rub shoulders with Steve Jobs. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, it was great. And it was kind of interesting because I had a brochure from the Young Executives Club, which mm-hmm. I handed to him. And immediately he took a look at it and he was opening it and he was fixated on it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you go on my Twitter page, my headshot is of him and I standing there. In fact, I gave some of my camera, quickly take a picture. He was fascinated by the fonts.
Wow. You can kind of see how that evolved into the whole Apple user intuitive product that is easy on the eyes. And he had a certain artistic sensibility, didn't he?
He just seemed to know
what
was going to work.
I mean,
iPhone, the iPod, I mean, it's changed the landscape.
It really has. And just, we're not going to hang with Steve Jobs for too long. This isn't all about product placement, but but I did want to ask Greg Gazin, our tech guy and our gadget guy, what was he like? And any particular anecdotes tied to Steve Jobs? Did he give you any time apart from looking at the lovely fonts on the brochure that you brought down?
Well, it was kind of interesting. Well, first of all, I think you know that he's a pretty popular guy. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, the ladies were always after him. I remember at the conference, he was actually pretty popular with the ladies, but I can't remember if it was later that day or it might have been the next day. I do a lot of walking. I've always been a walker.
Yeah.
And I was walking around the hotel and I happened to see him sitting there and he had his head down. I'm sure he was probably just taking a break. And I thought, I'd like to talk to him, but I was kind of afraid, a little bit nervous, a little bit shy. And so the guy was opening up the beer cart. So I went and grabbed two beers, walked over to him, and he looked up at me and he says, have a seat. We chatted for maybe 2 minutes. And
wow.
It was so long ago, I can't really remember exactly what we talked about. But he's been a huge inspiration for many years, not only as as a techie, as a geeky guy, mm-hmm. but also entrepreneurship, entrepreneurial, and also in speaking, being a Toastmaster right now. Having been to a few of his keynote speeches that he's given at the Macworld Expos or at the openings of the
Worldwide Developer
Conference. Worldwide Developer Conference. Yeah, okay. Just the way that he speaks and the fact that he can get the media eating out of the palm of his hand. And I found out he spent hundreds of hours practicing and presenting. So not only am I listening to what he has to say, but I'm also listening to how he says it.
Yeah, I think a charisma is not something that comes completely naturally. I think it's something that has to be developed and evolves over time. And certainly he had it on those stages. Well, Greg, you're kind enough to bring something into the studio. Can you show us on music? Like, hey, show us one of your gadgets.
Here,
one of your
favorites. Here it is right here. You see it? So isn't it nice?
It's square and black.
It's
describing
square.
It to our audience in radio land.
Well, it's about 3.5. No, it's okay. What I have in my hand, well, first of all, many of us travel. Wherever we go, we want to be connected to Wi-Fi somewhere.
That's right.
And let's just say we pick up Wi-Fi wherever we can. And so you have free Wi-Fi. Now, chances are, and most likely, that Wi-Fi is not protected or it's not secure. In fact, if you look at your properties, it'll say unsecure. You don't have to sign on with a particular password.
Yeah.
So this little guy I have in my hand is, I hate to use the term Swiss Army knife of wireless routers, but it kind of is. What it basically does is it allows you to set up a private network right there at the coffee shop.
By plugging it into the wall.
You can plug it into the wall or for power, or you can plug it into your computer. But what it does is it sets up let's call it a firewall, so that your computer is actually talking to the box and the box is actually talking to the outside world.
Supposedly, people who have nefarious means can't crack your bank card number if you toss it along vis-a-vis your laptop or whatever.
Well, theoretically, I mean, there are people out there that can do all those things. Mm-hmm. But if you have a network that's private, that's secure, then the chances are a lot less that you're going to get hacked. But it also does a number of other things. And what's interesting is it doesn't all do them at the same time.
Okay.
So let's say that you're in your hotel room.
Yeah.
And it's only got a wired connection.
Yes. Okay.
Cable. Yep. And you've got your iPhone.
Yeah.
Or you've got some other device that you want to hook up wirelessly. Well, what you can do with that is you can also create a little network that way. So you can plug it into the wall. The other thing you can do is you can use it as an extender in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Or even at the coffee shop. Let's say with the big comfy chair that you're sitting in is a little far away from the router that you can see way up at the front of the coffee shop. The signal isn't great. So you can plug this in into the wall.
Apart from boost your signal.
Well, the other thing I can do is that
black box.
If you have a device that only has a plug-in, so let's say, for example, you've got a printer,
mm-hmm.
and the printer does have an Ethernet, so you can plug into your router, but it doesn't have a wireless capability.
Yes.
But you don't want to have the printer sit next to your desk because it makes too much noise.
Yeah.
So you can put it in another room. You can plug the printer. You wire it into this particular box. And then you can have a wireless connection to your printer. Plus, you can also use it as a charger. So you can charge your phone if you want as well.
Never enough juice in the world.
And the other cool thing is that let's just say that you've got lots of pictures that you take. And you can hook up a hard drive to this. So let's say you hook it up on your home network. And so everybody can copy their pictures to it. So it's amazing what this little box can do.
Yeah, right.
It's too bad it can't do everything all at once, anytime, all the time. But I mean, that's probably wishful thinking.
That's coming.
That's Star Trek.
Okay. That's the Netgear Trek. Is that what it's called?
The Netgear Trek. It's the N300 travel router.
Technological gadgetry. Thanks, Greg. I appreciate you popping into Muse.
It was my pleasure.
Greg Azin, our technology columnist. He delivers news, tech, and gadget previews on his blog each and every week. Check it out at gadgetgreg.com.